Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, this is David Tennant, and you are listening to the Court Case Podcast. Allons-y!
Hello, and welcome to the Court Case Podcast with me, your host, James Court.
And Sweet Tea.
I hope that you are hungry and horny, because we have got an all-sex episode for you guys today. To celebrate the release of the new season of Sex Education, we're opening our sex clinic, and we're going to be taking audience questions all episode long and giving you guys sex and relationship advice. So you better strap in.
Or strap on.
Because it's all coming right after this. So, T, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's been a little while since you've been sat in the podcast chair.
Has been a while.
An episode because I did record one with Billy last week that was lost to the masses.
Yeah.
Because my computer decided to break down.
We have been a bit slack on it this month, I'm not going to lie, like with our releases, but
yeah,
we have been like manic, in fairness.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But we're going to make up for it by doing a whole episode on people's favourite segment.
So sex and relationships.
Sex and relationships, courting with James.
And I've done this one. I've prepared to make up for the fact that I've been a bit absent.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided to go away. I've talked to viewers and tried to find out some of our questions, some of their questions, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to discuss those today.
Amazing.
They're all anonymous. Anonymous?
Anonymous, yeah.
Anonymous. I've got taken the piss out of saying it wrong before.
Yes, you have, yeah.
Yeah, so they're all that word.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess we should just crack on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to go over first the reason why we're doing this episode.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So the new season of hit Netflix show Sex Education came out last week. You and me have about 2 episodes left
because
we've not binged it like everyone else. We've been watching about 1 episode a night.
Yeah, but also, as we've been saying, we have been manic, so...
Yeah, exactly. But we love the show. I remember when season 2 came out, we were in Rome on holiday, and we
that feels like a bloody
all.
Lifetime ago now.
That was our
last holiday in general.
Yep, I remember watching the finale in the bed in the hotel room, wanting to punch that disabled kid in the face because he's so annoying. But how have you thought of this felt of the season so far, without giving any spoilers away?
Yeah, it's really hard to not like to talk about it without giving away spoilers and stuff, because I've had that problem. Like, I've gone on TikTok and people have been speaking about it quite openly, and I haven't obviously finished the season yet, but I really do think it's a really good season, actually. Like, you're seeing a lot of character developments. Some characters that you were just like, oh, get off my screen, you're now like, oh my god, get on my screen. It's so cool how they flip that on its head.
The character of Adam is a standout.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
season.
About brilliant.
He is a standout this season.
No, absolutely.
I love it.
Fantastic.
It's just one of Netflix's just gems.
Yeah,
just gems of a program.
I do think that, like, the thing is though, like, it hasn't really got a storyline. It's one of those things where there isn't an underlying storyline. It's just every episode there's something new happening. Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't say there's not. I get what you mean, but what I think you mean is that there's no one storyline that's the most important storyline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's multiple ones that are just as important as each other.
Yeah.
And they sort of
like
work together.
You can put on an episode and it's something new that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, with Breaking Bad, the main storyline is Walt and Jesse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you would have side storylines with Hank and his investigation stuff.
But exactly what I mean.
Sex Education, every storyline is as important as
every storyline makes up Sex Education as a season. Yeah, basically, yeah.
It's really well written. It's so well shot as well. Some of the shots. Like, we really were watching an episode yesterday. Well,
can I just say, the first introduction scene, the episode 3, that was brilliant.
That was so cool.
Because, like, you're like, oh my God, wow. Like, you just, they went straight in for it. And I said to James straight away, like, it's Sex Education, but I felt like in the past 2 seasons, there wasn't that much sex. Start that season 3 like that, you're like, whoa, they've listened to some critics or something.
Yeah. And there was one in an episode that we watched, this isn't giving spoilers away, but there was one shot of Otis and Maeve at a petrol station.
Yes.
And just the way they shot it with the lighting was just so lovely to look at.
It was.
And, and I mean, the costumes are great. And it's weird. I don't really understand the school, which is why I think it's so unique, is that it's set in England, but the school is almost like an American high school.
Yeah, it is. Because they're not wearing uniform until now. Mm. And they've got like the jocks and the nerds and the stuff like that.
Weird.
And the popular, I'm not saying like a UK school doesn't have like those different cliques, but it's definitely more of a common thing to see in an American movie, like having the popular crew and the sporty crew, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But anyway, let's get to the sexy stuff.
Wow.
I tried to turn it down. But anyway, let's get to the audience submitted sex and relationship advice.
Some
questions
of these James hasn't seen, so I'm very interested to see his reaction.
Yeah. I'm going to reiterate what T said. The people that have submitted your questions, you are going to remain anonymous.
Yes.
So absolutely, don't worry about that. But thank you so much for anyone that messaged in with their questions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to it. Let's chuck some our way.
So, question number one, let's go straight in for it.
Yeah.
Is it normal to not be interested in sex? I'm a teen and everyone's talking about it, but I just don't seem to care.
Ah, interesting. Okay. I would say that it's perfectly normal to not be interested in sex. I have known friends at like uni or college that were not interested in sex. Or one person in particular was like Christian. And that's kind of why they weren't interested in it. I think that's perfect.
I don't think it really, like as a teen, like I think it's one of those things where you probably feel like you have to be interested in it. Like that's why they're asking. Mm-hmm. But realistically, you don't have to at all. You don't have to be interested in that at all. It's just society has developed like the whole you're a virgin kind of thing. Like it's not a big deal at all.
No, but like asexuality is a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Now.
So we're as much as we are society's developing in a negative way. Like all those types of things. It's also positive as well because you've got those people that are now coming out as like asexual, etc.
Absolutely. So I mean, you could it could be you're just a late bloomer, or it could just be that you're actually, you know, asexual and it's just something that you're not up for at all. But it doesn't mean
you're different or weird or anything like that. Like,
no,
to be fair, it's probably more strange that teens are talking about it as much as they do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there like, I mean, I don't know. It's weird because you got to be open and it's a really tricky one because you can be open and then you cannot be open and neither one's right or wrong is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, I get you. But no, but in answer to that question, no, you're not weird.
You're not weird.
Everyone has a hobby.
It is normal.
Yours just isn't sex.
And that's probably better in the long run, realistically.
Yeah.
If you actually had something that was beneficial for you and your future rather than sex, then good for you.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to want to be you in a few years' time.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, then again, you might wake up tomorrow and a flip switches in your mind. You go, wow, I'm well horny today.
Yeah.
Here we go. You never know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Hopefully that helped.
Yes.
Do you think sex ed should be taught more in schools, like more in-depth topics should be covered?
This is a good one because I want to ask you what your experience was with sex ed.
Yeah, I'm sure we had different ones.
And I want you to ask me what mine was.
My experience with sex ed in school was so minor that I can barely remember it.
Right.
I remember we had like a school sex bus. It wasn't called that. It obviously wasn't called that, but it was a bus like where people people came around in a bus, and you go into the bus, mm-hmm. And you watch like these sex ed videos. There was like a puppet, a demonstration puppet type thing, and like vaginas and penises and stuff like that. Like very, very parental guidance kind of information, mm-hmm. like PG friendly.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything like, you're kind of, they give you the basics, and then when you get out onto the real world, when as soon as you turn 16, you figure the rest out by yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
What about you?
Most of my sex education was a lot like guitar. It was self-taught.
Yeah.
I had the same with you. It was extremely, extremely minor. I remember in, I think, like the last year of primary school, there was that one time where all of the girls got taken into the assembly hall or whatever, and I assume we're getting told about periods.
Yeah.
And we were just sort of left in the classroom like, what's going on?
And I think that's already wrong, because men need to know about periods just as much as women need to know about periods.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, and I'm guilty of this. I think it's shocking that there's men like my age, me included, that when you sometimes tell me something about a period,
and
I'm
you
like,
don't know
whoa,
about it.
What the fuck?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, I don't get me wrong, I get why they don't have men and girls and boys mixed together in that session, because obviously at that age, they're so immature. Like, they would roast you, they'll laugh, they'll make you feel shit about it.
Yeah.
But I do think it still should be divided, boys and girls, for those reasons, but they should still be taught the same thing.
I think, yep, like you said, I think year six or whatever, teach the girls that.
Yeah.
Because I think a couple of years later, teach the boys only and say, this is what girls go through.
Yeah.
So that they know.
Absolutely.
Because I think...
as far as their little innocent minds are aware, we just have babies that come out of our vagina.
Exactly. But no, other than that, when it got to like sort of year 8 or 9 or something at secondary school, we thought there was going to be like a sex ed like module come up in class. And we had one lesson that was sort of the PowerPoint on STDs.
Mm.
And they showed you the graphic pictures that were yucky. Right.
Mm.
And then we had one lesson where Mr. Burton was his name, our humanities teacher. And like, he brought out a couple dildos and he was making jokes like, oh, they always come in pairs. Ho, ho, ho. Right.
Oh, my God.
And he put them on the table and he was like, we're going to talk about sex and stuff like later on in the year. And then nothing ever happened. He didn't do the condoms on the dildos. He
it's
didn't
odd,
do anything.
Isn't it?
It just sort of fizzled out into nothing.
I do think, to answer the actual question, I do think it does need to be taught more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
I do think they need to just like fully educate you, because, you know, you see in sex education, there was those, they were doing it completely wrong where they were putting them into different classes and they're telling them not to use sex toys, not to have sex at all. Like, there's one extreme and then there's another extreme. But like, sex toys, I didn't know anything about sex toys until, obviously, you know, you turn 16, you start experimenting. Like, you don't get taught anything like that in school.
Absolutely.
Obviously, they're probably there's a very fine line in what they can and can't tell you, because there's a teacher and student relationship, and obviously it's all that bullshit. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it does feel like we are very much in the dark. I didn't know much about my period until I had a period.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, your kids end up relying on porn to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really
and then
bad.
People get pissed off about that. But realistically, there's a free website that's given them more like education than the teacher should be giving them. But the same with sex. I think there should be a lot more topics that are covered in school, like finances and stuff like that. Like,
yes.
I just think what we learn at school, fucking algebra, when the fuck am I going to do that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I know that there's people that get tired when people say this sort of shit.
Yeah.
But I completely agree. There's so many topics that I just didn't use.
Yeah.
I know fuck all about mortgages
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. I've
like stuff, the real world stuff that you've got to do day to day.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yep. We should be getting taught about sex. How to do the sex, protection during sex.
A number of people think that drinking semen is a good idea.
How to apply to get a house, a mortgage.
Yeah.
Like, I found out the other day, which I didn't know was a thing, apparently you can do like a half rent, half mortgage thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's completely new to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was just you either rent or you either get a mortgage. I didn't realize there was some sort of half and half option.
Oh, I know.
Ridiculous. I still don't know what a building society is. My mum the other day had an appointment at a building society. Apparently it's something to do with your savings account. I have no idea.
Mm.
What the fuck is a building
and
society?
And I find it crazy that our parents know, because they were taught basically the same thing as us in school.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't taught about that.
Yeah.
But I guess they've just picked it up as life goes on and will eventually pick it up as life goes on. But it shouldn't be the case because it's just nice to not go into things blind.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, hopefully that answers the question. Yeah, exactly. We do think that sex ed should be taught more in depth in schools.
That was a good question.
Very good question. Next one being opinions on open sex relationships.
Okay, open sex relationships. Mm-hmm. So it's not an open relationship where you're looking for romance and sex, just sex.
I think so.
Okay. Well.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing is, as long as you've got consent from both partners, then do whatever you want within reason. I find I definitely don't like the idea of open relationships where they're like they've got multiple boyfriends or girlfriends
and it's
like
all
romance
with.
And stuff like that. I just think that's a recipe for disaster.
I've got one for cinemas, I've got one for dinners. Yeah. Like yes, that is I don't like you do whatever you want, do whatever makes you happy, but I personally don't understand it.
No. I think it's a recipe for disaster. I think with when it comes to sex, I think, well, there's a lot of fantasies, there's a lot of fetishes, there's a lot of things in sex life where bringing in a third party is, you know, obviously really enjoyable. It could get messy. I was going the more positive route.
Oh.
And saying that could be really enjoyable and, you know, couples could, you know, find fruitful things.
Oh, yeah.
But I think in that scenario, it's something where both the people in the couple need to be getting what they want.
Yeah.
And both need to be completely 100% consenting.
Yeah. Because there is a fantastic series on Netflix called You, Me and Her. I never thought these words would come out of my mouth recommending a TV series. It's normally James' thing. But I watched it, I can't remember when, a year ago or so.
Right.
I fucking loved it. And that is like literally showing you how a relationship works like in three ways. So it's a husband and wife. They introduce another lady, girl into the relationship, ended up having a kid and like they're end up breaking up, the girls end up going out. Like it's a whole story and it's really interesting to see how it works and how it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So if anyone is interested, I would give that a watch because it does teach you a lot.
Yeah. The thing is with like normal open relationships that involve like not just sex and romance is a lot of the time the open relationships, they don't start as an open relationship. It's a couple. One of them would like it more than the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what one of them ends up like not enjoying it at all, not having any dates, whatever, it just kills the relationship. And I think there's rare instances where it probably does work, where if you all meet together for the first time, start this open relationship, maybe. Yeah. But I think normally they're a recipe for disaster. But I mean, if we're talking like threesomes or, you know, getting someone else in the bedroom.
I don't think that's
class
as an open sex relationship.
It's not,
then.
Is it? No.
I don't really know.
That's just like sexual,
I think, look, at the end of the day, everyone's going to have a different opinion on every topic and things like this. Do whatever makes you happy, but us personally in a relationship, we wouldn't do it.
Yes I agree So I was away from the mic for that.
You were. So next question, moving on. Sex on a first date, is it awkward?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
As if it would be if it was a one night stand.
I would never do sex on the first
date. I would never do sex on a first date. But I mean, each their own. Some people have sex. Some people have a one night stand with someone and then they end up dating and getting married and stuff. Like it works out for some people. It doesn't work out for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a fairly open and shut case for me.
Yeah.
I am not a fan of...
I think if you've actually gone like wine and dined, met someone for the first time and then you end up going back to his house or her house for sex, then I personally don't think that's the best way to start off a relationship.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they only want one thing. Seems like you've already like, you know, done something that you should be holding for yourself for a while. Like that's the exciting bit, like the teasing, the waiting for that kind of thing, and you've just given that away. So it's like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of stories where I think there's some stories that I see on like Reddit and things like that of men getting upset because they're dating this girl that sleeps around a lot normally, yet they won't do it with her, or she won't do it with him because like she's waiting and it makes them feel sort of like worthless.
Yeah.
And so I can see where that makes it a bit complicated, because I think I would feel that way if I was friends with a girl or knew a girl that is fairly, you know, sexually promiscuous, which is fine. You know, girls can do whatever they want with their bodies, and men as well. And then we started dating and she just doesn't want to do anything. I kind of be like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a tough one. But I mean, I wouldn't have sex on the first date.
No.
That's me.
No, fair enough. Yeah.
Maybe, what, a third or fourth?
Really?
Fourth or fifth?
Fair enough. I mean, again, I'm always of the opinion that I'm going to keep that to me until... I think it's one of those things that somebody earns. So if they want to actually go out with me, they will take me out, they will ask me out, we'll see each other for a while, and then I'll give them that pleasure, I guess.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, yeah. I just have that's the respect I have for myself. I'm not saying people don't have respect for themselves or they do it anywhere other way. That's just how I prefer to do things.
Fair enough. I like that. Yeah.
And that's how we did as well.
It is how we did it.
Perfect. Made you fucking wait.
Yeah. And I mean, we've been going out for over 2 years.
Exactly. So
clearly
worth the wait.
Yeah.
Worth the charm. Worth the tease. So, moving on.
Okay.
Do you find sex or personality more important on a first date? There's a lot of a first date theme going on. And I'm assuming by the find sex or personality, they mean like looks, I guess. Looks or personality. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Or unless they mean physical sex. Then again, I wouldn't have an opinion on that because I don't have sex on a first date.
Yeah. So, I mean, my answer to that would be personality. Then.
Yeah. Even if it was looks and personality, for me, it's personality. Yeah. Hands down. Because that's the thing that you're staying with for the long run. You're not staying for the looks because the looks change.
Yeah, that's the thing. It annoys me when you get guys and girls that, like, they'll talk about a date they've been on.
Yeah, first thing. Oh, look at her. I'll get her Instagram out. Look at her. She looks beautiful. Great, happy for you, but how was she as a person? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, was she a bitch?
Yeah, and oh, she was a bitch. Then why are you showing me her Instagram? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You just want a quick fuck.
Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, I do want to hear about whether she or he was fit or not.
Yeah.
But I just want to know if, you know, they're worth your time as well.
Exactly. Because, yeah, personality is what you're dating, not the looks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well... Hopefully that answers that question.
Yeah, we're powering through these. I want to find one that we don't agree on.
Yeah, I've got... there's a lot here, actually.
Okay, good.
Actually, I'm going to dive straight down to one that I think might be a bit of a debate.
Ooh!
Okay.
Exciting stuff.
This was a really good one that someone submitted, and I've not really thought about it before. After a breakup, in your opinion, how long should you wait until you sleep with somebody new?
Okay, yeah, this is going to be a debate. Okay, because you and me, I think we might have had a little bit of an argument or discussion about this recently.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, I think we did. I think it is very much dependent on the on the length of the relationship and also what's transpired in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have been going out for like 2 years, and the question is, how long is it until you can start dating again?
Well, just says until you sleep with someone, so whether that's a one night stand or whether that's dating someone, it's up to how you interpret it, I guess.
I think sleeping with someone, just sleeping with them, I think you can do a shorter amount of time
dating. Oh, absolutely, I agree with that.
But the thing is, for example, if you had a mum and dad that broke up, mm-hmm. and they've got like a small child, and the mum or the dad brought someone back to have sex or something with the child there, really scummy thing to do.
Oh, obviously.
In my opinion, because obviously...
Hopefully in everyone's fucking opinion.
Yeah, and so I think...
I just think if you were to break up with someone and then go out that night to try and find someone and get with someone, then you are an unhappy person.
Yeah, that'd be awful. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
In the same day or within the same week, I just think...
That's ridiculous.
You just need to have time to yourself, grieve, be on your own. If you're going out there seeking for somebody else... You're never gonna be happy because you're never gonna know who your true self is because you're constantly with somebody else. If that makes sense.
No, that's absolutely
so
true.
So that's why I think it's something that you do have to wait a while for, whether it's just having a one night stand or whether it's being with someone. Yeah. Obviously, a one night stand, that's a different length of time to actually getting into another relationship with someone. Mm. But obviously, those situations are also different because if somebody breaks up with someone for somebody else, they're going to move a lot quicker than the next person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and also don't date in your ex's circles as
well. Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't date someone at their workplace. I wouldn't date someone in their friendship group. I just think that's, one, a recipe for trouble, and two, a bit just thoughtless, I think, as well. Especially if you've been going out for ages, because then, one, you're just going to end up seeing them a lot again, which doesn't help.
No, that's true.
So...
Well, I guess we kind of agreed then.
We did kind of agree, yeah.
Yeah.
My God, why are we agreeing on everything?
This is why we're together, because we have the same opinions. Okay. Yeah. Next question, sorry.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
How important is having an orgasm in a relationship, let's say?
Ooh. Okay. That's very dependent on the person.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Because...
Well, okay, put it this way. You're with someone.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a relationship with them. And you have sex. And one of you has an orgasm. The other person doesn't.
Right.
Hardly ever. Mm. Struggles.
Yeah.
Is that detrimental to the relationship? Is that affecting both parties, one party?
I would say yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, there's many, many... Obviously, this is normally... Well, men do get erectile dysfunction, I suppose, as well, which is a problem. But this is normally women. There's a lot of women that have trouble orgasming.
Absolutely.
And... So that would be a problem. But the thing is, that is a problem for both of you in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a problem for her.
Well, so, if you're not a toxic...
Yeah, if you're not a dick.
Yeah.
So it should be the man's... should be trying just as hard to figure out what it is that she's into, what it is he movements and
it's,
things that
it's
he
teamwork.
Can do. It is absolutely teamwork. Yeah.
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 I don't know, like, what they're in... exactly implying, like, are they saying, like, can a relationship last without you having an orgasm? I think maybe if they're saying how important it is, but I think a relationship can last without having
absolutely.
An orgasm, as long as there's the communication there and that you guys, like, because if that is a constant thing that's happening, let's say a woman can't, the man's going to start feeling like shit, that is him, he's doing something wrong, it's how he looks, something like that. Or she's getting it elsewhere, so she's all burnt out kind of thing. So as long as there's communication there, so you're both feeling and understanding why, then you can probably make a relationship still work.
Yeah, and it's like, I remember when we started dating and you were telling me about at your school or college or whatever, there was a bit of a stigma where, like, the boys would take the piss if they knew the girls had sex toys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in my mind, when you told me that, I was like, that sounds fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's just helping, because obviously sex toys...
I don't think that's because they actually think it's embarrassing or funny. I think that is just because at that age, they're so fucking immature that they would find anything funny. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And what they don't realise is that the impact it actually has on girls to this day. Like, those boys probably don't even think about it and probably encourage their girlfriends to get a sex toy nowadays because they've matured. But for the other girls that were getting bullied or laughed at for it back in the day, they've still got fucking trauma about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one thing, obviously, I'm not normally the person to... I'm not really the gender to advise women. But if you haven't got a sex toy and you do struggle to orgasm, you are much more likely to orgasm from a toy than you are from an actual penis.
I think definitely if you're someone who is scared or struggles, then definitely get yourself some sort of sex toy. Experiment with yourself. Know what you like and go from there, basically.
Absolutely, yeah. 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 But I do think orgasms are important for relationships.
Yeah.
So obviously you've both got to work together and try. I mean, there's some people who are into... you know, orgasm denials, so that's a thing.
Yeah, true.
So I suppose don't give them any orgasms.
Again, it is just about communication, isn't it, realistically? Yeah. But going off from sex toys, the mm-hmm. next question is role play or straight to sex?
I really like role play. Mm. I think role play is great.
I wrote role play, yeah. But they put foreplay.
Foreplay. Both.
What am I thinking about?
But I mean, role play is a type of foreplay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think foreplay is great. But I mean, there's a lot of people that both of you are working full time.
Yeah.
You don't have much time in the evening. So sometimes it is
straight to sex. But everyone's probably, I mean, I know people that are just straight to sex. I know people that just do floor play. I know people that do foreplay and then go into sex.
There's some people which I think is really cool, is where the foreplay will last all week and then the sex will be at the end of the week. It'll be messages throughout the week. It will be
like teasing
throughout the week, and it's building up like a crescendo to bosh the event at the end of the week.
Mad.
Which I think is
that's pretty cool.
Such a good idea, because you're really building it up.
Yeah. And so it's going to be probably one of the best orgasms ever.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I definitely think that there is a lot of value in foreplay.
Yeah.
A lot, and also I think it's a weird, I don't know where this has come from, well, probably because of just like misandry or sexism or something, but there definitely used to be a sort of stigma where it was thought that most men don't like foreplay and they just want to get straight to it.
Yeah,
but I don't think
that's very portrayed in porn. Yeah, though. I think that's why.
Yeah,
like women are more likely to do foreplay.
Yeah.
Than men, and I don't know why, because it's not the fucking case at all. But
no,
it's odd, isn't it?
No, but definitely, if you're mulling over whether you think you should try it or not, but definitely anonymous person, if you've got the time, get some foreplay into your life. Try the week long one.
Yeah,
tease your partner all week and see what happens.
But I mean, obviously, for the actual answer to the question, that is just based on preference.
Yes.
And also how you feel in the day, how busy you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can't really answer that one. But great question. Thanks for sending it in.
Yeah.
Next one. Does it put you off if somebody tells you they're a virgin when you're not one?
When you're not one.
So you've slept with a couple of people, you meet someone, you want to hit it off with them, they tell you they're a virgin. Does that put you off?
Personally, I don't think it would.
Fair enough.
One thing that I want to talk to any ladies in the audience at the moment
mm-hmm.
is, right, so many, because obviously women have, there's a lot of women that have trouble orgasming.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a lot of men that will just rush into sex. They won't know what they're doing with the woman. They'll just pound away. The woman won't have an orgasm. It'll be a crappy thing. And there's this whole stigma about virgin men and how, you know, women don't want to have sex with them and stuff like that. And what I want to say to the ladies that are listening is, if you know a virgin person that's interesting you, or if you're dating someone that's a virgin and you're a bit nervous, you've got a blank canvas right now.
Yeah.
You can literally teach him exactly
what you
how
like.
You like what you like and how you like it.
So
and
true.
He is going to be learning sex exactly the way you like it. And he's not going to have picked up anything from anyone else. Like, I personally think if a woman is dating someone and they find out they've a virgin,
they've hit the jackpot personally.
Yeah,
true. I think what it is as well is, deep down, girls love a competition.
Yeah.
So as much as they hate to hear that their boyfriend slept with 10 other people, at the same time, they would rather hear that their boyfriend slept with 10 other people and they've got experience, in quotations, rather than him not sleeping with anyone, because then that makes him come across as not desirable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do get that.
Yeah, so I think that's possibly why. Whereas men don't think of it that way around for a woman. They think, oh my God, a cute, innocent girl, she's not doing anything, let me show her the ropes, that kind of thing. So a very strange gender divide there.
I think it needs to be flipped. I think the stigma needs to change. Because, I mean, I think a guy that's been with 10 women, every woman is different.
Every
woman has a different way of getting to orgasm or getting pleased.
Yeah.
And so are you going to want to, you either spend a short amount of time teaching a virgin the best way to pleasure you, or you spend a huge amount of time having this confident, annoying guy unlearning all the stuff that he's promising you is going to work. Oh, I know how to do this. I know exactly how to do this. You've got to unlearn all of that and then teach him how you like it.
Yeah.
It's just, you're going through twice the work.
I know there are some people that would be put off by a virgin, but I don't think...
Yes.
I don't think I would.
There's a lot of people that would be put off by a virgin, and I don't like it, and I don't think it's right.
Yeah. I don't think I would. I mean, I don't think I'm hopefully ever going to be in that situation again tonight.
You never know.
Yeah. I think, obviously, for a one-night stand, duh.
Yeah, for a one-night stand.
But for a relationship, I don't see why it should matter, especially if you want to be with that person for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
How many people they set with, you won't even think about it.
Yeah.
Like... I don't know your number anymore. You don't probably know mine, so we don't think about that anymore because you're in a relationship with someone.
Yeah, exactly.
Next one, I guess. Back onto the first date theme.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on who picks up the check on a first date? I do think this would be a bit of a debate.
Okay, yeah. Now, right. My personal opinion for this, and I think the most equal way to do it, and we are in bloody 2021 now, whoever invited the person on the date picks up the check.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually agree with that and haven't thought about that. I agree with that.
You've invited someone to come on a date with you, male or female.
Yeah.
So you should be the one picking
up
the
check. But obviously 9 times out of 10, going off by society, men are the more likely ones to invite a girl on a date.
Yeah, which needs to change. But
Yeah. I didn't work for us, though. I asked you, didn't I?
No, I asked you.
Yeah, for first date, but then second date, I asked. I'm pretty sure.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I think it should be whoever asks. More women
I agree
ask,
with that.
Because also, I want to say I think more women should be asking guys out on dates now. Obviously,
because men need that boost as much as a woman do.
And also, we've got this whole stigma in society at the moment about men being seen as really dangerous.
Yeah.
Men, you shouldn't be approaching women to come off as creepy and stuff like that.
So it's really hard.
So it's extremely hard. There's going to be a lot of men. I feel there's going to be a lot of men, like it's Freshers Week at the moment for a lot of people at uni. There's going to be a lot of guys and girls that are going to be wanting to get together and do stuff. And there's going to be so many men that's be like, I am not fucking risking that.
Yeah.
And whereas women, you've got the upper hand. You can go, you should go to the, if you see a guy that you're interested in, you should go to the bar.
Yeah,
you
no,
should
I agree.
ask him out.
With the check thing though, like as I agree with what you're saying, but I do also think whoever picks it up, the other person's just offer still.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think it should be he's picked it up, he's solely paying for it.
Yeah. This stuff about men always needing to pay, it really needs to change, because we've got this whole thing of women now working just as much as men. Men are not just the providers anymore.
No.
It's not the case. You and me are working jobs and we both get similar amount of pay.
Yeah, we do.
So if this was the
Well,
80s,
I would sometimes get more because I'm in a job where I can do more hours. Yours are set.
Good point. Yeah, I'm on a set salary. It's a good point. But if this was the 80s, we'd be getting paid the exact same working job, but yeah. I'd be paying for all the dinners and all the dates.
Yeah.
Which isn't right.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And agree. Mm. It is fucked.
Yeah, that was good. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I hope people agree. If you don't agree, I would love to get in an argument with someone that are like, no, men should always pay. Woman that's probably got a job earning loads of money.
Yeah. Like, you get those women that will probably just go on the date, not interested in the person because they're expecting the man to pay and get free food.
I hate that. There were girls that get Tinder accounts because they just want free dinners.
Yeah, it's fucked.
Awful. Bitches. Next question.
Next question. The last two questions are probably my most favourite questions. Ooh. They're relationship ones, and I don't think anyone's really asked these type of questions before. So,
okay.
Is getting on with your partner's family important?
Ooh, good. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is important.
I don't personally think it's that important.
I think it's important, but it's not the be all and end all.
I think it's important, but not necessary.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I think as long as you guys are mutual, because not everyone's going to get on with everyone, not everyone's going to like everyone, especially if, you know, your boyfriend's mom could be a bitch. You're not going to get on with her just because it's your boyfriend's mom. You're just going to try and avoid it, but get on when you have to, like at family dinners or something like that.
Yeah.
And
there's going to be people that don't have a relationship with their family.
Exactly.
And, you know.
You could meet a girl and she's literally raised herself with her nan from the age of 16 and her nan sadly passed and now she's on her own.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a family to get on with anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not that. It's important to have like that, like mutual respect.
Yes.
But not necessarily to actually get on with them or have a relationship with them at all, because you're the two people in the relationship is the part that matters.
Yeah, that's the
as long as it's
bit,
not awkward, like when you go around there and the mother's horrible to you or whatever, then I think it should be fine.
I completely agree.
Yeah, because I know there's some people actually. I've actually met I've spoken to a few people recently, and they've said how I could count three people on my fingers, right?
Yeah.
That I've met that are in a relationship with a long-term relationship with their partner, and they've told me that they don't get on with their partner's family.
Bloody hell! Okay.
Three people have told me that.
Three.
Every time I've gone, oh really? But actually, that just proves if they're in a long-term relationship, it's not that important to get on with the family.
Yeah, and if you can get over that
obstacle...
You're
starting your own family anyway.
Yep, and I mean, if you can get over that obstacle, it probably means you're quite a strong couple.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that is a very good question. I think some people have different opinions on that.
Mm. Very good, yeah. What's the last question?
Last question is, marriage without changing your surnames, what are your thoughts? What a fantastic question.
Damn, yeah.
I've got so many thoughts about this.
See, in relation to the picking up the check question, I would be a hypocrite if I said that, you know, you should take the man's surname.
Yeah, you would be.
I would be a terrible hypocrite.
Yeah.
So, but to be fair, from my experience, but I think getting a bit personal here, I think personally my opinion of it is mainly because my dad is dead, so I want to keep his surname.
Yeah.
I would more than happy have us, for example, get married and you keep Yates and I keep Court.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. Yeah. I don't have any problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or double barrel it or something.
I love double barrel surnames.
Cool.
I love it. I think that should be the way forward in life.
Right.
I don't mind it when people keep their own surnames, because I was speaking to someone the other day actually, and we were both saying like, isn't it mad that women don't have their own surname? They either have their dad's or their husband's.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird tradition, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think I personally like double barrel names.
Yates Court.
Court Yates.
I don't think Court Yates sounds
See, that's
right.
The thing. Like, some double barrel names, they just don't work.
Mm.
They don't work and they don't sound right. That's the only annoying thing.
Yeah.
It's like that thing of when you're not married and the kid takes the dad's name. I personally don't agree with that.
If you're not married...
If you're not married and the kid takes the dad's name, I don't agree with that.
But then whose name is he taking? Or you just make
it up? Take the mother's name, wouldn't you? If you're not married, the kids would take the mother's name.
So right. So if you're boyfriend and girlfriend...
Yeah.
And you're in a committed relationship, you're raising the kids together. This isn't a single mum type
deal. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the kids would still take the mum's name.
Well, yeah. That's what I personally think.
Why?
Or double barrel in it.
Double barrel in it, I understand. But why would it have to take the mum's name?
No, it doesn't have to.
Right.
But I just think, why would I push something out of my vagina and then give it my partner's name?
Okay, yeah, I sort of get that.
If we're not actually officially together.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend who got pregnant very young with a boy. They're not together anymore, but that kid's got his surname. So her ex's surname, and she's now with somebody new, and I think that's so wrong.
Yeah, I can see why that would suck.
Yeah,
I would
not wrong. I mean, each their own.
I think personally, it would be more the fact of it should be easier to change the surname. They should make it easier. So in that instance, if you're separated, she's not seeing the ex, he's not a part of the child's life. It should not cost anything. It should be really easy.
You know what's weird though? Just change the surname in that situation, because like, so 9 times out of 10, the kid would take the partner's name, the husband's name or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, in custody arguments, even though the kid's got the husband's name, the woman's more likely to win.
Yeah, I've got...
That's also another thing, do you know what I mean? It's all fucking mad to me.
Everything is screwed, that's what it is.
But yeah, I mean, I love double barrel names. I like keeping your own name. I also understand why people take their partner's name. Like part of me is like kind of like fuck tradition, keep my own name or double barrel it. The other part of me is like, I also like the tradition. Like, it's the only kind of tradition that I fuck with, like getting married in the church and taking your partner's name.
Yeah,
because it's nice to have the whole family having the same name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard.
Yeah,
it's really hard to pick.
But good question.
Very good question.
Good question.
Yeah.
So, we're coming towards the end of the show, but I've been emailed a couple of stories from people. Again, I'll keep anonymous.
Ooh!
For inclusion in this episode.
All right.
So, my first one is, someone said, after my stepdad passed away, my mum was dating someone, and I was still living there because I moved in to help financially, what with my stepdad being ill. Anyway, incredibly embarrassing when I was sleeping between shifts, in that I sleep with earplugs in, and on the way to the bathroom I spotted aforementioned boyfriend in a robe, not covering himself, and a dildo in his hand. Yeah. Now I think I'm scarred for life.
Oh my fuck.
What can I do to get the image out of my memory?
I think you're fucked, mate. If that image is in your memory, you can't get that out.
Yeah, so it's the new.
Oh, I've now got it in my mind.
Mum's new boyfriend holding a dildo in the bathroom. What's he gonna do with that?
Oh my god, I don't even know.
Get his girlfriend to do it, maybe.
Possibly.
That it's the image of his girlfriend in his brain, not his mum's boyfriend.
Oh, that makes me feel a bit queasy, doesn't it?
It is pretty awful, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I actually don't have any advice for you because I just actually don't know what could possibly erase that.
My advice is, I'm glad I'm not you.
Yeah.
There you go.
And you will be okay. And as time goes on, it will slowly become a very, hopefully, distant memory.
Yeah. Now... I've been sent one more story that I think is very interesting.
Go on.
And basically, someone said, I am reconsidering my marriage after my father-in-law's death.
Right.
They said, we've been together for 10 years, married for 5. My father-in-law passed away at the start of the year. It has been difficult. I've been there for her. I've taken over a ton of chores. I've been a shoulder to cry on. I've made sure she has the space to talk about him and cherish his memory. It has struck me, though, that she did none of this when my father passed away. He died 3 years ago. My wife was with me during the funeral, but she didn't let me break down or take time for myself. She always said that my dad wouldn't want me to cry about him, and I should carry on working and pulling 70-hour weeks because that is what he would have wanted, for me to be a good family man like he was. I believed her and just pushed back all the emotions. I was only able to mourn and talk about him properly with my best friend. I thought it was fine then. I didn't want to bother her. Right now, I feel like my father's death was something I had to deal with, while her father's death is something that happened to all of us. I know it's silly to compare and contrast, but this pattern holds for most of our marriage. Her emotions and problems are our problems, while my emotions have to be processed outside our family. I honestly don't know how to bring this up. I don't think I'm ready to leave her when she is still struggling, but bringing this up would just make things worse. I'm terribly confused.
Oh, bless. That's actually awful. And to be fair, like, that is something that you do compare, because if somebody is treating you completely different, like, you treat someone how you want to be treated, basically.
Yeah.
It sounds like she is a very, like,
emotionally manipulative.
Yeah. And, like, my problems are more important than yours.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my dad's died. Your dad died 3 years ago. Get over it, kind of thing. Like, yeah.
And it doesn't, from what he's saying, it doesn't sound like it's a one-off thing. It sounds like with a lot of the stuff, his emotions are starting to keep to himself. This is a very sexist and traditional thing. It sounds like, you know, the like man's man up just got type a of thing. Which is awful.
But I don't have any advice, because obviously he seems like a really nice person. So the best thing to do is leave her, because she's not very nice.
That's what my advice is.
But you can't leave her right now, because he's too nice of a person to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he would then feel awful in the long run that he's done that. And I know that he would. So I think once her grieving stage is over, which it probably won't be for a while, because it sounds like someone who wants to cling on to the fact that she's going through shit and wants everyone to do stuff for her. But when that stage does disappear, I think have a serious conversation with her. It's going to be the worst conversation of your life. It's going to go south.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, just nasty. Just not very nice.
Yeah,
basically.
Not very nice. No. Good luck to you, anonymous man.
Yeah,
I hope you made the right decision. I hope that you feel better.
That is a story that they've given us there. Like, that sounds like a Reddit story.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice that they've actually submitted to that to us personally.
Yeah, I know, it's beaut. So I'm very happy about that. Yeah. But we hope that all of you guys enjoyed our bumper sex education episode. I hope you liked coming to the clinic and learning some things from us.
School's out.
School is out. Yeah. So please join us next week, where we've got a great other episode lined up for you.
You dirty pig.
Dirty pig. But we hope you guys enjoyed it. Please submit other. If you want to submit your own questions and advice for us to cover in Courting with James section in later episodes, please message us on our Instagram, which is at CourtCasePodcast, or email us at CourtCasePodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, guys, for all the submissions. Oh, it's been a long one.
Yeah, I know. But we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening.
That's what she said.
What?
I just realised, because I said it's been a long one.
Oh, right. Okay.
Sorry, I'm so fucking slow.
I love it.
Bye, guys.
See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.